And peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The title of our message today, if you noticed when you drove under the church parking lot on the church sign. You know, I say that after every Sunday to prime the pump. Get you looking for that sign. It'll be there all throughout the week to tell you what's coming. Our title today is Preaching Christ Crucified. Based on our epistle lesson from 1 Corinthians, this verse especially, St. Paul wrote, "For Christ sent me to preach the gospel, not with eloquent words of wisdom, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power." I invite you to open up your sermon, your worship folder, find the purple sheet of paper. You'll find the sermon outline with the theme, Preaching Christ Crucified. Well, there was a certain preacher who had a habit of dividing his sermons into points. The people in the congregation liked that because they could follow along, see how far he was going to go, and even better yet, know when the sermon was getting close to being over. The pastor particularly liked preaching on the text from David and Goliath with David's five smooth stones, but then he would divide his sermon into five parts. He also liked preaching on the text from the book of Acts when the sea was in a ravaged sea storm and it dropped four anchors. Then he would build his sermon around four points. And the congregation really liked his sermon on 1 Corinthians 13 where the Paul talks about God's three greatest gifts, faith, hope, and love, because the congregation know the sermon would only have three parts and it would be a short message. But all that Sunday morning when the congregation shook with fear, when the pastor announced his theme would be based on the gospel lesson, when Peter set out the net and brought in 153 fish, they knew it would be a terribly long message. Well, the question's been asked, what's wrong with preaching today? And the answer is a lot more than just length. When a survey of Christian churches was taken about the preaching, the one thing that was missing time and time again was, guess what? It might surprise you. The one thing was missing was the preaching of the cross and Christ crucified. In St. Paul's day, as he wrote the epistle to the church of Corinth, Corinth had many great preachers, many famous speakers, who were much more talented than Paul. They had better style. They had better personality. They had better ability. They had more excitement. But they were leaving out the very heart and soul of the gospel. They were not proclaiming Christ crucified. And St. Paul had these words to say about the situation. From our epistle reading for today, Paul wrote, "For Christ did not send me to preach with words of eloquent wisdom, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." Some years ago, when I was a professor of preaching at Concordia Seminary in Edmonton, I would take our senior class, the fourth year students, just before they became pastors, on a field trip in the advanced preaching class. I took them to churches of various Christian denominations. In fact, before we went, I called the headquarters of each of these church bodies and said, "In this area, tell me who has the best preacher in your church." We purposely went to those churches. We heard some eloquent speakers. We heard some entertaining sermons. But in 6 out of 7 sermons we heard, can you guess what was missing? Christ crucified was missing. In our sermon text for today from 1 Corinthians 1, St. Paul tells his hearers, and he tells us, that content is more important than style. That substance is more important than eloquence. And contrary to the wisdom of our age, without the cross of Christ, A sermon is really not even a Christian sermon. St. Paul warns the people of his time, and he warns us about the so-called wisdom of the age. This wisdom, says St. Paul, empties the cross of its power and leads us in no other direction than in man's foolishness. Again, he says in our text, in verse 17, not with eloquent words of wisdom, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. In the city of Corinth, St. Paul encountered this wisdom in two different ways. One was with a group called the Judaizers. This was a group that wanted to lessen the gospel of Christ by adding on to it all the Old Testament rituals and laws. The other group was the Greek philosophers, a group that wanted to lessen the gospel of Christ by mixing it with sophisticated philosophy and the human potential power movement of the mind. Their theme was Christ and philosophy. The Judaizers was Christ and good works. The problem was Christ and, with the result that their and became very important, and Christ and his cross became a distant second. My friends, this is what can be seen in our day today. In theologically liberal churches that have strayed away from God's Word in the Bible. In positive thinking religious TV programs, there are a dime a dozen. In humanistic society, unless we just get busy pointing our fingers at others, remember, one finger at others brings three back at ourselves. We find this in our own hearts. Christ and rules and laws. Christ and New Age philosophy. Christ and the personal potential movement. Christ and the wisdom and priorities and values of this age, with the result that the and in our lives starts to overcome Christ and his cross. St. Paul puts it this way. What's the result? He says, so that the cross of Christ is emptied of its power. The cross of our Lord Jesus Christ is to be at the very center of our preaching and the center of our living, not the so-called wisdom of the world that consumes us. This week, in my office, I sat with Ben Mann, Kristen Rowley. We talked about how our congregation can do a better job of supporting and encouraging and lifting up our young families. Our young families and the youth in their families, which are being torn every which way there can be by the so-called wisdom of the world that gets in the way and sometimes substitutes itself for the word of the cross. St. Paul tells us in verse 18, for the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the very power of God. And Holy Scripture tells us the cross is not just the power of God. The cross of our Savior is the very wisdom of God. Listen to what he says in verse 24. Christ the power, Christ the wisdom of God, for the foolishness of God. You want to see the foolishness of God? Look at that man hanging upon that cross. That's what Paul's talking about. He says, the foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom. The weakness of God is stronger than man's strength. My friends, our faith is not to rest on our good works. Our faith is not to rest on our church attendance. Our faith is not to rest on our earthly wisdom or our human potential. Our faith is to rest alone on Christ and what he did for us on that old, rugged cross. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 these words. Pay attention to what he says. Paul says, for I resolved to know nothing among you except Christ and him crucified, so that your faith may not rest on man's wisdom, but only on God's power. My friends, consider what we do in Christian worship today and how it centers in the cross. How do we begin each service of worship? With the sign of the cross, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. How do we end each service of worship? With the benediction. With the sign of the cross. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. When the Lord's Supper is celebrated at this altar, what sign is made over the bread and wine which are for us the very body and blood of Christ? It is again the sign of the cross. When you are given the very precious body and blood of Christ at this altar, how are you dismissed? With the sign of the cross. How is our church building formed? Have you ever noticed that? This church building is formed in the tradition, ancient architectural tradition of how Christian churches are made. Even to this day, when our archaeologists dig up church structures from centuries old, here's how they're made. They're made in the sign of the cross. Look, here, up to here, and then off to the side. The sign of the cross. Here is the bottom of the cross. Here are the two wings of the cross. And here is the head of the cross, always pointing to the altar. Even the way our church building is formed shows us everything we do. Unless you miss it. What is the centerpiece of architecture in this holy place? The centerpiece of architecture that should draw our attention Sunday after Sunday. Here it is. Jesus upon the cross. St. Paul writes, "We boast in nothing but the cross." And so many of the hymns we sing in this congregation also, where do they point us? They point us to the cross. I've just selected two for time's sake. Some of you in a hurry to watch a football game or two today at home. Listen to this hymn, hymn 761, verse 3. The hymn is called Rock of Ages. It says, "Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling." Hymn 878, verse 5, which is "Abide with me," it says, "Hold thou thy cross before my closing eyes. Shine through the gloom and point me to the skies." Now, St. Paul also warns us in our text today that individualism and eloquence on the part of leaders and pastors sometimes can create divisions in the church when our eyes are taken off the cross and we're focused on something else. Listen to what he says. Paul writes, "I appeal to you, brothers, that there be no divisions among you, because some of you say, 'I follow Paul.' Others say, 'I follow Cephas.' Others say, 'I follow Apollos.' And Paul asks, 'Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Were any of you baptized into the name of Paul?' No." Paul tells them, and even more importantly, Paul tells us today, that all Christian congregations need to focus on cross content, not on individuals, not on styles. My friends, let me tell you something you probably know quite well. Pastors come and go. And pastors will fail you. Pastors will let you down. The longer I'm here, the more my shortcomings, my inabilities will shine forth. But that is why Christ and His work on the cross is to be the subject of every sermon, every Bible class, the focus of every effort and future plan of this congregation. So I ask you, pray for your pastor. Pray for your director of parish services. Pray for your vicar. Pray for your church elders, the leaders, our Sunday school teachers. Why? So that Christ and His work on the cross might be our treasure and might be what we proclaim. In our Lutheran heritage, the cross of Christ is kept in sharp focus when we use two tools, two hallmarks of our Lutheran theology in preaching and teaching. We call these hallmarks the law and the gospel. God's law declares that we're all sinners. We are all in rebellion against Him who created us, and the consequences of sin are evident every day in our lives, in our homes, in our schools, in our work, in our society. Due to our sin, God's law tells us We are under His righteous judgment. But we also have the gospel. The gospel is the good news that Jesus, who is Almighty God in human flesh, has walked upon our earth. He has lived a perfect life. And He went to death on that cross to face head on the powers of sin, the powers of death, and the powers of the devil. And He did it for you, and He did it for me. And on that cross, our Lord Jesus, our precious Lord Jesus, bore the judgment of Almighty God that we deserve. On that cross, He paid for the sins of the world, for yours and for mine. And from that cross, He rose in victory to give the gift of heaven to any who put their faith in Him. No wonder our whole focus has to be the cross of Christ. Let the theme of this congregation be, nothing in with my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. This simple but powerful message of law and gospel is what St. Paul in the text today calls the message of the cross. This is the message. And by the way, here's where I stop preaching and start meddling. Are you ready? This simple, powerful message of the cross is that message upon which you need to build your lives and the lives of your children. Not upon the so-called wisdom of this world. Because as I said before, there are so many things competing for your heart and your soul and for the heart and soul of our young people. The cross. The cross. Nothing in my hand I bring should be our family's theme. Simply to thy cross I cling. This message is a message we must remain faithful to as a congregation. Here's where I start meddling again. If we lose this message of the cross, there's no reason to keep the church doors open. If we lose the message of this cross, we might as well sell the property, because someone, as we know in Richmond, will build a high rise upon this very land. Today, especially in this godless and sinless world in which we live, sinful world in which we live, God is calling us as individuals, as families, and as a congregation to remain faithful to the word of the cross. Let me tell you what faithful looks like. In the tragic destruction of the Italian city of Pompeii in 79 AD, many people lost their lives and were buried alive in the volcanic eruption of Mount Vesuvius. But especially interesting was an archaeologist's discovery of a Roman soldier on guard duty. Encased in volcanic ash, and so to speak, frozen in time, the body of the soldier was found standing outside the gate that his commander had given him to guard centuries ago. He was still grasping his weapon on that same location where his commander asked him to stand faithful. Despite the choking ash, despite the terrifying roar of the volcano and the cries of terrified people, this soldier remained steadfast. He remained faithful to his orders and to his commander. May this be a picture of each of us as individuals, as families, and as a congregation. May it be said of Trinity Lutheran Church in Richmond, B.C., here is a congregation faithful to Christ and to Him crucified. In the name of Jesus, Amen.